Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply cordially invited. Cordially invited. Now, we've all received a cordial invitation at one time or another, either to a graduation, a wedding, a grand opening of some kind. It could have even been a formal dinner. And we enjoy the cordial invitation, my friends, because they have a special place with us. It means that somebody took the time to send something to us that was special and unique. And I don't care how many of them we receive, we never get tired of being invited. Well, the art of the invitation has a relevance in this spiritual life because Christ invites us and encourages us to invite others. Remember, he said it in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." That's an invitation. And then remember the Bible outlined in Matthew 22:2 that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king that made a marriage for his son and then invited other people to come. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we're always around this invitation principle, and those who master it will impact the lives of so many people. Let's outline how we can do that, my friends and neighbors. How can we be excellent at the invitation, whether it's inviting a person to church or to Bible study to accept Christ, whether it is inviting of any level? We want to know how to do it well. The 4S technique can help us. First of all, my friends, that invitation must be sincere. Yes, it must be sincere. It means we've made the call and we've personalized the email and we've sent the personal text message. We've shown our sincerity because it's thoughtfulness. You know, the old saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's all about sincerity, my friends. You think of a high school senior that remembers all the people who made a difference in their lives, and that high school senior then begins to send invitation to those people. By the same token, if someone has blessed you, has shown you kindness, consider inviting them to know Christ a little bit better. Consider having them come to church to learn more about Jesus. Consider having them come to Bible study. Invite them. Just pick up the phone and say, "You know what, Sally, I was thinking of you. You made such an impact on my life, and it'd be a shame if I didn't at least introduce you to what I know about my Savior. I'd love to do it, Sally. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" You see, the invitation, the more sincere it is, the more it's appreciated. And the more it's appreciated, the more it's complied with. People will come if they realize how sincere you are when making that invitation. Remember, the Bible says in Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Then we discover in Acts 18:11, when we discover that Paul continued there for a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Yes, my friends and neighbors, there are some keys to making that invitation sincere, and all it is just expressing to a person how important they are to you. And once you express how important someone is to you, then you can transition and talk about how important Jesus is to you as well as to them. Yes, my friends and neighbors, after that sincerity comes the specificity. Yes, you want to be specific. When you're inviting people to your church or to Bible study or wherever it might be as it relates to this Christian life, we want to include all of the details: the date, the time, what to bring, who else can come along. If there's a particular passage of scripture that everybody's studying, let them know. You see, specificity makes it easy for those in your circle to support what you are outlining as it relates to whatever activity you want them to attend. Now, you don't have to tell them the facts about the everything the teacher's going to teach or the preacher's going to preach. That's not exactly it. Think of specificity in the formal invitation. You got the date, you have the start time and end time, you've got the location, the attire, special instructions for RSVP. Just by the same token, my friends, when you're communicating with somebody about coming to your church, let them know where to park. Let them know what time the service starts and what time they can expect it to end and where would be a good place for them to sit, how to find you when they arrive, and even if they need a ride to the church, bring them with you. Yes, my friends and neighbors, specificity is that. And after that specificity, my friends,
You got to think about it. Jesus was specific. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. All of those components, my friends and neighbors, outline the importance of specificity. After specificity, you also need a strategy. You see, a strategy is not a trick. It's just a tactic to make sure that your goals are accomplished. You think about it. Jesus did it just simply by his works. He says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. If you don't believe me that for the works that I do. In other words, his strategy was he was going to do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and people were going to come from miles around. And then that's how so many people got converted. That's how so many accepted Christ. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, the Bible says that the men came not just to see Jesus, but to also see Lazarus. Yes, my friends and neighbors, one of the greatest strategies is allowing the Lord to work in our lives. He told us in Matthew chapter 5 that we should let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Yes, my friends and neighbor, the strategy plays a role. The love is a strategy. When you forgive those that do you wrong, when you appreciate those that might not even appreciate you, when you show the love of Christ that passes all human understanding, that's a strategy. Yes, my friends and neighbors, whatever strategy that you've got to employ, I say start from the inner strategy. It's far more effective than door prizes and the credentials of the guest speaker and saying that the space is limited. Yes, my friends and neighbors, when we start outlining the strategy that is on the inside, God can then begin to work on those on the outside. Last but not least, that final S reminds us that when we're inviting, it's good to be selective. Yes, my friends, it's good to be selective. What do you mean by that? Well, you know, even at a concert, only a few people get backstage passes. And in boxing, the ringside seats are the ones that are most exclusive. By the same token, you want to be selective when you're inviting people to your church. You want to invite those that you know may not be involved in other activities at their own church, where they don't have to leave what they're doing there to come see you. But be selective. Call on that person that you know needs the Lord in a major way. Call on the individual that you know in your circle is without a church home. Call on the person that you know doesn't have any source of spiritual direction or leadership. Be selective, my friends and neighbors. Go out and communicate with them. And I'm not saying that everybody doesn't deserve, quote unquote, to go. No. I'm simply saying that there is somebody that God placed on your heart. He placed the 12 disciples on Jesus's heart. And yes, my friends and neighbors, by the same token, he's placing somebody on your heart right now. Whoever that person is, go out and make the selection. Tell them that you were moved to call them to come and spend time with you in Bible study, in church, or whatever that might be. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today, my friends, until we talk again on tomorrow. God bless you. God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.